Well, hello once again to everyone. It's another nice, bright Friday evening here in Karatz as I'm doing this recording. And this is for the morning service on the 3rd of May. A few announcements before we come to our opening psalm. First of all, a word of thanks for the work that has been done with the church oil tank. I noticed that work that the deacons were talking about has been done, so it's good to get that job done. Then, at the start of May, there would normally be a meeting of the Northern Presbytery, and that meeting will not be taking place. It would have been due to be on Wednesday. However, there is an online prayer time that's been organised for 7:30. On Monday evening, the 4th of May, and if any of the elders are able to take part in that, it's been done through Zoom, so if you know anything about Zoom and if you have access to Zoom, you could participate in this. There is there's an ID code for the meeting, and there's a password that you need to have, and I can give you those. I'm not going to give those over the recording. So that's Monday at 7:30, and that's open to any of the ministers and elders in the presbytery. Then I want to say also that for next week, assuming that we're still in the same arrangements, I hope to be doing the morning service. But I have been speaking with Paul Wallace, and unless anything changes, the hope is that Paul will come and do a recording of the evening service for next week and for the week after. Now, something may happen to bring a change to that, but that is the plan at present, and so you'll have the opportunity, hopefully, to hear Paul preaching again at the evening service recording for the next 2 weeks, for the 10th of May and for the 17th of May. Well, those things by way of announcement. The opening psalm that I picked is part of Psalm 16, and the stanzas are 4 through to 7. Psalm 16, and singing from 4 through to 7. Our service just now will be focusing on the 8th commandment about not stealing. And one of the things that helps us to avoid stealing is to have a grasp of how well the Lord has provided for us. And we find that expressed here in this portion of the psalm. Psalm 16, stanza 4. Of my inheritance and cup, the Lord's the portion sure, and that which is my destiny, you will uphold secure. For unto me the boundary lines in pleasant places fell, and the inheritance I have in beauty does excel. I bless the Lord, because he gives me counsel which is right. My heart within me he directs and teaches in the night. The Lord continually I've set before my face to see, because he stands at my right hand, I never moved will be. And the writer of the psalm here reflects on the goodness of God and the way that his life worked out. And he talks about the pleasant places that the Lord has appointed for him, and he talks about the excellent inheritance that he has. And we can all give thanks for God's daily acts of goodness towards us. He does provide for us each day of life. Let us sing his praise then. Stanzas 4 to 7 of Psalm 16. And if you're singing this at home, you can pause the recording, and then afterwards I will speak to God in prayer. Now let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come and focus our thoughts upon you. We thank you that you're a God worthy of our praises. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you're a God who answers our prayers. And we praise you, Lord, for the rain that you have sent in the days of the past week. We give thanks for that, O Lord. We praise you for the blessing that rain is, and for all the good, all the benefits that come from it and through it. We thank you also for the sunshine that you've sent, and we praise you once again for the springtime and for all that we can appreciate about this season of the year. We thank you now that we can focus our attention upon you and your word. Help us to do that. We pray that by your Spirit you will help us, O Lord, to worship you. We ask you will forgive our sins. We pray that you help us to remember that Savior that you've provided in the Lord Jesus, the only one in whom we have forgiveness of sins. We pray that you will help us now, and we pray that you will give us a heart to obey your word. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be speaking today on the 8th commandment, which says, "You shall not steal." That's in Exodus 20, verse 15. But the scripture reading I want to take is from the New Testament, and it's from Ephesians chapter 4, and reading part of Ephesians 4, and then on into the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5. So Ephesians 4, and reading from verse 17, and then continue the reading through to verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 5. So this is God's word as we have it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And we end our scripture reading there at Ephesians 5 and verse 7. Now I want to say a few words to the children in regard to the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment teaches us that we're not to steal. And I wonder, do you remember a man in the Old Testament called Nathan? Nathan was a prophet of God, and God sent Nathan on one occasion to King David to show King David his sin. And Nathan the prophet told a story to King David, and this is in 2 Samuel chapter 12, at the beginning of the chapter. I'll just read a few verses. It says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveller came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him.'" And in that story, Nathan tells us about a rich man and a poor man. And they lived near each other in the same city. The rich man had plenty. He had plenty of his own. He had loads and loads of his own things. And the poor man had very little. And the rich man stole the poor man's lamb. He had a visitor that came, and he wanted to feed the visitor, and he stole the lamb that belonged to the poor man. Now, you can imagine how the poor man would have felt. Surely he would have been very, very sad when he saw that his lamb had been stolen and he would never get it back. Someone who had something stolen from him was really hurt by having that thing stolen. And that's the way it is. Those who steal always hurt other people. We need to remember that. And so if you're ever tempted to take something that you know isn't yours, then remember the poor man with his precious lamb, and it was stolen from him, and how sad he must have been. And when you're tempted to take something that's not yours, then don't do it. One reason why we shouldn't steal is that stealing hurts others. You wouldn't want to have your own things stolen, and so you're not to steal that which belongs to someone else. Stealing always hurts others, and God says we are not to steal. Now we're going to come to God and prayer now. I'll be praying for various matters. church matters and matters relating to mission and the nations of the world. We can give thanks for some good news. Philip and Hannah Dunwoody were expecting their first child, and last Lord's Day they had a baby girl born to them, and she's been called Sophia Beth Dunwoody. So we give thanks for the birth of that child to Philip and Hannah, Philip the minister in our Durbeck congregation. Now we come to God in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we praise you that we can look to you as the God who knows all things, the God who knows what is on our hearts, even before we try to put those things into words. We thank you, Lord, that you are the sovereign God who is in charge of all that happens in the world. We thank you for how the scriptures teach us that you have a particular interest, loving concern for your church on earth. And so we give thanks, O Lord, that you have a particular interest in us and a concern for us. And we pray that we will take heart and comfort from that in these times. We do return thanks to you, Lord, for the safe birth of that little daughter for Philip and Hannah Dunwoody. We pray for them as their lives have changed and now they have that little child to look after. We pray that you'll give them the energy they need for that. We pray that you'll help them to be loving parents, and we pray that that little girl will be greatly blessed and that your mark of favor will be upon her all the days of her life. We pray, Lord, for those who are experiencing difficult family times, and we pray, thinking of Trevor and Carol, we pray, O Lord, for Carol's mother, who's very weak and poorly at home, and we pray for Carol and the other family members as they take turns to be with their mum, and we pray, Lord, that they will be able to give some help and comfort to her, and that you would sustain and strengthen them as they seek to do what they can in these days of great weakness. I want to remember also William Lockridge in hospital. We thank you for some progress that he's made, and we pray, O Lord, that you would grant that would continue, and we pray that soon he may be able to move on from where he is at present, and we ask, Lord, that you will just do your healing work there. We pray, O Lord, for our church camps. We pray for wisdom for the camp leaders as they think about what it might be possible to do this summer. We know that that's a difficult decision to make and that things can change so much. But we pray, O Lord, that you will help the camp leaders in the things that they're considering and the options that they're looking at. And we do pray that there may be something that the children who would be going to camps could look forward to. And we just pray, O Lord, for your provision in that. We ask for wisdom for those in authority who, over the next number of days, will be reviewing the situation with the coronavirus and the measures that are in place. We pray that they will see clearly and be of one mind as to what would be the wise way of handling this over the next few weeks. And we pray that the plans that they would come up with would be good plans. We ask, Lord, that in your mercy, that you would be at work. We pray that you will be turning people's thoughts to yourself. We pray that rather than people just wanting to get back to the way things were, that they would be seeking after you and thinking of eternal things. And Lord, we know that only you can bring that about, and we pray that you would, and that it would be one of the good things that would come out of these events that we're going through. We pray for the work of our missionaries. Think in particular of the work in France and in Spain. Pray for the Barracols in Spain. We ask, Lord, for help in providing for them. We pray that they will have others that can be able to direct them and support them in their work. And we pray for wisdom for our mission committee in trying to come up with arrangements that will be suitable to that end. We pray for the Littles in Nantes. We ask that you will keep them in good health. We pray that you will strengthen them for the work that is there for them to do. And we pray, O Lord, that the folk that they minister to will continue to be in contact with them. And we pray that you will be working powerfully in our mission situations in these lands that have been severely affected by the pandemic. We pray, O Lord, for men who are in training for gospel ministry. We pray that they will know your help in these times. We pray that you will be with Paul Wallace and Paul Flynn and John Coulter. We pray that time when they would normally be in their placement, that they would have other things that they can be busy with. And we pray, O God, that you would use this time for good in their lives. We pray that you will also be at work calling other men to train for gospel ministry. And we pray, O Lord, that in these times that we're living through, that will be something that you would be doing, planting that desire and doing that work of calling men to serve you as pastors and teachers and missionaries within your church. Lord, we pray that you will hear our prayers. We pray that you will provide for us in all our various needs and concerns. And we pray that we would find peace in you, and that we will be able to look to you and know that you are the Lord who will provide. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in looking at the Ten Commandments, we come today to the Eighth Commandment, which is there in Exodus 20, verse 15. It says simply, "You shall not steal." Well, in the midst of this present pandemic, efforts have not stopped where people are trying to steal. And there are many different ways in which, even in these times, efforts will be made to steal. There are lots of scams involving text messages or email messages or telephone calls. And some of these are related to COVID-19, and evil people are trying to make use of that to enrich themselves in some way at the expense of others. And even in these times, there are still efforts being made to remove ATMs. And I read just the other day that in 2018, there were 841 attempted thefts of ATMs in the United Kingdom. 841 efforts to take the whole cash dispenser machine away. And so thieves haven't gone away, and people are still busy trying to steal. But God commands and says, "You shall not steal." And thinking about this commandment, I want to think first of all about stealing from men, and then to think about stealing from God, and then finally a few words about avoiding stealing. First of all, then, thinking about stealing from men. Well, stealing is big business in the UK in these days. Shops continue to be severely troubled by theft, and that comes in various different ways. In the year 2019, shops in the UK lost £905 million worth of goods through their suppliers or through warehouse thefts. They also lost £1,305 million worth of stuff through the staff that work in the shops. And then, of course, there's the shoplifters. And the figure there is £1,993 million lost due to shoplifting. That all adds up to about £4,200 million that is stolen from shops one way or another. But that's not the only way in which people steal. Fraud is another problem. Insurance fraud accounts for about £99 million worth in the UK. And benefit fraud, £4,100 million is stolen in benefit fraud over the course of a year. So there's lots of stealing going on. There's lots of efforts being made to take that which is not rightfully belonging to people. And some of you, I know, will have been on the receiving end of theft. You maybe had your purse or your handbag or your wallet stolen. You maybe had your house broken into. And when these things happen to us, it causes within us a great sense of injustice. Someone has taken something that wasn't theirs. They've taken what was ours, and they had no right to take that. And the thought of someone having been in your house and been in your rooms and seen the things that you have there, that's not a pleasant thought to cope with. We don't like to be stolen from. And we're aware that everyone suffers the consequences of stealing. Things cost more in the shops because of all the shoplifting that goes on. And you pay more for your insurance because of all the insurance fraud that goes on. Thieves are a nuisance to all of us. And we know that they're out there. We know that we need to take sensible precautions. We know that we have to be very careful about certain phone calls that come our way, or emails we receive, or texts that we receive. They can be very subtle and very convincing, and we can think that this would be a good thing to do, and it really wouldn't. And so we know that we need to be cautious. We know that thieves are out there. We know that they're targeting people. But maybe the thieves are not just out there. Maybe they are in here as well. Maybe they are among us. Maybe there are ways in which we are guilty of stealing. Maybe we use other words for it instead, but maybe it really is stealing that we're doing. You don't have to be a shoplifter, a burglar, or a pickpocket to be a thief. There are other ways that you can be a thief, and sometimes those ways are more socially acceptable. It's even the case that people who are the victims of theft can soon themselves become guilty of theft themselves. When someone has their house burgled, it is very common for the insurance claim that is made to be one where things are overvalued, and people invent things that they never had at all, and they say these things have been stolen, and these are lies, and this is an attempt to steal from the insurance company. People say, "Well, I've been paying my insurance all these years, and I've never got anything out of it. So now's my chance to get something back." And they overestimate the value of the things that have been stolen, and they do it knowingly. And that is an example of stealing. There are other things that fall into the same category of claiming what's not rightfully yours. There are people who receive certain state benefits, and they don't really qualify for those state benefits, and they're stealing. They're stealing in doing that. Maybe it's someone who is claiming unemployment benefit, but they are really working as well. And there are many ways by which people try to get for themselves things that aren't rightfully theirs. And all of these things are stealing. People submit income tax details that are to their own benefit, but that aren't honest. And that is a form of stealing. People also steal from other people by not paying what they should pay. Those who don't pay their rates, or who don't pay their road tax, who don't pay the cost of their TV license, all of those things are acts of stealing. In the workplace, it's very common, and it takes various forms. People take for themselves and for their own use things that are intended for the workplace and for the workplace alone. Or it may be that people just don't give a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. That's a form of stealing from your employer. And then there are business practices that really amount to stealing. And one of the most typical is delaying payment of what is owed. And thousands of small businesses go under each year because of companies that do not pay on time. The same thing can happen in our personal lives. Those who don't pay their bills on time, but who wait until the last moment when it's absolutely necessary to pay. To delay payment is a form of stealing. And surely Christianity teaches us that we should pay others as we ourselves would want to be paid. Why are we treating other people in a way in which we would never want to be treated ourselves? It is a sad thing when business men or women who claim to be Christians don't practice their faith in the workplace. It is a good witness when people pay their bills promptly, and it is the very opposite when they delay payment. So there are all sorts of ways in which we can be guilty of stealing from men. And maybe some of them, it seems as if everybody does those things, but that doesn't make it right. And God says, you shall not steal. We're not to steal from one another. And we hate it when people steal from us, and so we don't want to put anyone else in that position by stealing from them. But then also, in thinking of this commandment, we need to consider also stealing from God. It's a great wrong to steal from one of our fellow men, and we feel the wrong of it when it happens to us. But what about stealing from God? Is that something that we could be guilty of? I want to suggest three ways in which we could be guilty of stealing from God. First of all, we can be guilty in terms of our money. We can steal from God where our money is concerned. And that is the point that God himself made to his people in the days of the prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, God says, will a man rob God? And he says, yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And God's answer is, in tithes and offerings. And he says, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. And the people at that time were not giving to God their tithes and offerings as they should have been. And God says, you are robbing me. You are stealing from me. And he says that his people were under a curse because of that. And God promised them that if they repented of their sin and they did what they should have been doing all along, that they would experience great blessing. Malachi 3, verse 10, God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And this is something we need to heed in our own day. If we keep back our tithes and offerings from the Lord, that will not prove to be a blessing to us. It will prove instead to be a curse. Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 38, he says, give and it will be given to you. And so in these times when we're not able to meet together for public worship, we still need to be setting aside our tithes and offerings for the Lord and making sure that we are not stealing from him. So I remind you of that as something that it is important for us to continue with in whatever way you're able to do that. We can steal from God in terms of our money. We can also steal from God in terms of our energies. Some people can be good at returning to the Lord in proportion to how he has blessed them financially, but they're not so good at giving to God of their energies. And people can have time for all sorts of other things in life, but when it comes to serving God, he seems to get as little of their energies as possible. And that doesn't indicate someone who has a love for the Lord with heart, soul, mind, and strength. We can steal from God by keeping the best of our energies for ourselves and our own interests. And God misses out. We can steal from God also in terms of ourselves. The most serious act of stealing from God that anyone can be guilty of is when we seek to keep our lives for ourselves rather than giving our lives to the Lord, our Creator and our Savior. And this amounts to stealing constantly from God. We keep from him that which is his by right. And the Lord Jesus said that whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And when we try to hold back our lives and to keep them for ourselves, Jesus says you'll lose your life. But he says that it's when you give your life to me, when you give me your very self, well, then you find an even greater life than the one that you would have tried to hold on to. And everyone who says no to the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who is refusing to let Jesus take control of their lives, is stealing from God. And we're telling God that he's not going to have this life. The scriptures teach us that we are not our own. We were bought at a price. And if we seek to keep hold of ourselves and not have anyone who is God over us, well, we are stealing our very self from God. So there is stealing from man, and there is stealing from God. And in the third place, I want to speak about avoiding stealing. And if we are to avoid this sin of stealing, there are two important things that we always need to give our attention to. The first one is working hard. We need to commit ourselves to working hard. We shouldn't be the kind of people who are always looking to get something for nothing. We should seek to be those who gain by means of working. Unless we are given money as a gift, or unless someone leaves it to us in a will, we should expect that we will have to earn the things that we will have in life. God tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And whatever work God gives you to do, give yourself fully to it. And we need to remember that God has a good purpose in mind in the good things that he gives to us. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through our working, God provides for us, God makes us rich, so that we can be people who are generous, so that we can be givers. It's interesting that in the passage that we read in Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 28, Paul speaks about those who had been thieves, and he says there, Ephesians 4, 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And here you have the person who used to be a thief, and they used to take away from other people, take away from them what belonged to them. And so they were depriving people of good things. And now that the thief is converted, and Paul says, well, let that person who used to be a thief, let him work hard, let him labor. Let him now do something good with his hands. He used to do evil with his hands. He used to steal with his hands. Now let him work. Let him do what's good. And let him do so that he will have something to give to those who are in need. So rather than putting people into a position of being in need by stealing from them, the former stealer is to be giving to the needy from what he has been able to earn by the labor of his own hands. So working hard is a very important way of avoiding stealing. And God commands that to us in the scriptures. And then the other thing that's very important in terms of avoiding stealing is contentment. If we cultivate a spirit of contentment with what God has given us, we will not want to steal. Stealing is taking things into our own hands. It's telling God that he hasn't been wise in the way that he has distributed wealth. It's telling God that he hasn't been good enough in what he has given to us. And instead, we need to be content. And we need to trust and believe that God truly is wise. And God knows always what he is doing in terms of what he places in our hands. And even if we don't know why God is withholding something from us, God knows why he's doing it. And in the scriptures, we're taught the importance of being content. We're to be content in all things, but we are to be content in terms of what we receive as our wages. Luke chapter 3, verse 14, we're told, "Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, 'And what shall we do?' And it says, 'So he said to them, Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages.'" John the Baptist taught the importance of being content with your wages. Soldiers asked how they could show their repentance. Well, John says, be content with your wages. Contentment is vitally important if we are to avoid stealing. If we're content with what we have, we'll not be looking for things that we don't have and that are not rightfully ours. So we can avoid stealing by working hard and by contentment. And then, finally, as with all of the Ten Commandments, we need to be sure that we are not trusting in our record of having kept this commandment, but rather we're trusting in the record of the Lord Jesus Christ. This commandment is here to show us our sin. It's to work upon our conscience and remind us that we haven't been honest in all things. And we should remember our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should remember that the Lord Jesus is the one who saves thieves who turn to him for salvation. And isn't that something that was so powerfully demonstrated in the final hours of our Lord's life? Jesus was crucified, and on each side of him was a thief, a rebel. And one of those thieves crucified alongside the Lord Jesus, one of them came to believe in Jesus. He trusted in Christ, and he found forgiveness with the Lord Jesus. One thief went to hell for his sins, and the other, who had the same sins, he had his sins dealt with by the man who was beside him on the cross. So in the scriptures and in the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is hope. There's hope for all repentant thieves. The Lord is willing to accept someone who has been guilty of breaking this commandment, maybe again and again and again, or maybe in a whole variety of ways. A person has been guilty of stealing. And yet, in Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness for that. Scriptures teach us the importance of making restitution where that's possible. But in God's Word and in Jesus Christ, there is hope for all repentant thieves. But there is only one hope. Jesus Christ Himself is that hope. And it's only in Christ that there is forgiveness. It's only in Christ that our sins are taken away. But Jesus Christ saves repentant thieves. So let us confess our own sin and let us trust in Jesus as the one in whom our sins are forgiven and our sins are covered. Amen. Now the psalm that I've picked to close with is 145, and it's the A version of the psalm, Psalm 145a, and the stanzas are those marked 6 through to 10, and these would be Bible verses 8 through to 16. Psalm 145, the A version in our psalm book, and these are the words. The Lord so very gracious is, and merciful is He also. In loving kindness He is great, and unto anger He is slow. On all His works His mercies are. The Lord is good to all who live. Your saints will bless you, Lord, and all your works will thanks unto you give. The glory of your kingdom tell, and of your power speak will they, to show his might to sons of men, his glorious kingdom's majesty. Your kingdom has no end. Your rule through generations all remains. The Lord upholds all those who fall. The bowed down raises up again. The eyes of all seek you in hope. Their food in due time you will give. Your opened hand will satisfy the wants of all on earth that live. Our God is a God who is very gracious and merciful. He is full of loving kindness. He is a God who is good and kind. And He has an opened hand that will satisfy the wants of all who look to Him. And so let us remember the God who has been gracious to us, the God who's been good and generous to us. Let us look to Him with thanksgiving. Let us be content with what we have, and let us praise Him for what He has provided. Psalm 145, the A version, the stanzas 6 through to 10. And if you're singing these verses at home, you can pause the recording now, and then afterwards I will close with the benediction. Now I receive the blessing of Almighty God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.